In Memory of Richard. Not long ago, my good friend Richard died as a result of a malignant brain tumor. He was one of the kindest, most thoughtful people I have ever known. When his condition was first diagnosed, we knew it was serious. We didn't know how long he had to live, and we all hoped that any answer other than he would live a long, happy life would be incorrect. Like many who have traveled this road before, he had radiation treatment and frequent rounds of chemotherapy, which left him physically and mentally exhausted. A couple months into his treatment, he began to improve, and we all hoped, even more fervently, that his life would be spared, at least for a little while. But life sometimes has a way of not dealing your friends the hand you think they deserve. When his ultimate decline came, it was rapid and unmistakable. He died on a warm, sunny day in April, just as the trees were beginning to bud and the flowers were shyly poking their heads out of the recently frosty earth. Richard and I were both in elementary school together many years ago, but he moved away just before seventh grade. Oh, I'm sure I missed him for a while, but I must admit I hadn't given our friendship much thought for many of the years since we'd been in school together. About 20 years ago, I got a call from someone who said he had gone to school with me a long time ago. It was my elementary school friend, Richard, but Richard was evidently not satisfied to simply be an elementary school friend. He'd been trying to find me for some time. He said that he'd wanted to call me and tell me what a positive influence I'd been in his life. I cleared my throat, blinked a few times, and said, "Thank you." What I was really thinking was, how could a boy of 10 years old have had any influence on anyone? What was it that caused Richard to take the time to find me after all those years? I had plenty of time to figure that out in the course of our friendship, which seemed to take up right where it had left off. We were both older and wiser, and yet there was still a bond between us that neither of us could explain. We talked about old times. We talked about the present state of the world, and I began to realize that this was no ordinary friend. He was very intelligent, but more than the books he had read and the lectures he had heard, he seemed to have a common-sense understanding of how things worked and a deep insight into things that either held friends together or caused them to drift apart. As our friendship grew, I knew that it would be one that would last a lifetime. What I couldn't have known, what neither of us could have known, was how short that lifetime would be. I remember one of the last phone conversations I had with Richard. I asked him how he was feeling, and he assured me that he was doing okay under the circumstances. Our conversation then wandered off into those many topics which we'd touched on in the last 20 years. I suspect we hit on a couple new ones as well. We talked about how we both felt about his dying, but we both felt no need to say goodbye. After Richard died, I was very sad. I had lost a dear, dear friend, and I hadn't even said goodbye. Lost a friend, yes. But the more I thought about it, our goodbyes had been said many years ago, in the freedom we felt with each other to talk about anything that happened to be on our minds. We had shared our inner selves with each other, and we were at peace with who we were and with the friendship we had developed. To have said goodbye would have been an anticlimax to the bond that held us together. As I read this, the hands of the clock are pointing to 9 a.m. The date is 9/11. Once again, I clear my throat, but I cannot blink back the tears. I think of my friend Richard, and I'm very sad. I want to pick up the phone and call him. Of course, there will be no answer. But it isn't just Richard this time. It's all those thousands of people who never even had the chance to say goodbye. They were cut down with no warning, on a day that will live in history after all of us have gone from this earth. Like me, their loved ones will not be able to pick up the phone and call them. Like me, they will be extremely sad, and their grief, like mine, will not quickly pass. None of us can roll back the hands of time. But as I say this to myself, I place my hand on the phone. It's not Richard I'm calling. No, I'm calling my wife, my family, and all my dearest friends. I'll probably even call a few people I haven't heard from for a very long time. I'm calling them because what Richard taught me is that none of us should wait to say the things we want to say. None of us should wait until it's too late to say goodbye. There will come a time when we are not on this earth together. But Richard made me realize that it's the living, day to day, that is so much more important than the last minutes we spend together in this life. Richard demonstrated time and time again that there would be no ending to our frequent telephone conversations that would leave important things unsaid. There would not be any time when we parted in anger or frustration or mistrust. He didn't do this because he knew he was going to die tomorrow and would not have the chance to undo something he had done. He did it because that was just the person he was. He did it because he understood that if we can't make peace with the people we know, no matter how hard the task, world peace will never be possible. When he found that he had cancer, he came to Wisconsin to visit us one last time. Yes, we both knew it would be the last time we saw each other, and perhaps the last time we talked, but we knew it would be conversation as usual. There was nothing we had to squeeze in before he left. There were no amends we had to make, no barriers we had to tear down. One thing we did talk about was 9/11. We both knew that as hard as it is to deal with dying, we were some of the lucky ones. We had our chance to see the unbroken line of friendship we had developed all the way to the very end. Our lives were not snuffed out in some cruel, instantaneous act of violence, with no warning and no time to say all the things one might need to say to someone in the prime of life with no thought of dying. But we both knew that if that had happened to us, it would have been easier to bear because we had not waited to make our peace with each other. Of course, not all death is caused by a violent act of terrorism. Even so, many people die unexpectedly every day. While we might have wished our friendship to continue forever, it was a peaceful parting when it finally came, just like all those times when we had ended our conversations in the past. When Richard left our house, I made him a promise, which I reaffirm now to all who hear this. Richard, I promise I will try to live my life as you did. I will try never to walk away from a person with a grudge or a chip on my shoulder. I will try to always work to make peace before our parting. Of course, this is reasonably easy to do with friends and family and those we love, and yet it's often those very people we hurt with a cruel word just because we love them, and we take them just a bit for granted, perhaps. So how much harder is it for us to be at peace with people whose values are very different from our own? Once again, I believe my friend Richard had the answer. He knew that living in peace with all who know you was one very special way you could live if you wanted to make life a peaceful time and death a peaceful parting. Thank you, Richard, for your friendship and for the lessons we learned in each other's company. I miss you, but I know that as you have always been, you are at peace.